If you have your Bibles tonight, will you turn with us to the book of Exodus, to a passage in chapter 30 of the book of Exodus? In Exodus chapter 30, we're told about something in verse 17 that I wanted to mention to you this evening, and we've mentioned this before, but I wanted to bring this to your attention again. In Exodus chapter 30, in verse 17, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash withal. And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat, when they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water, that they die not. Or when they come near to the altar to minister, to burn offering made by fire unto the Lord, so they shall wash their hands and their feet, that they die not. And it shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and to his seed, throughout their generations. This is an interesting little passage of Scripture. And this piece of furniture that we have read to you about is called the laver, or the bath, and it was located inside the tabernacle. You know, the tabernacle had a fence around it. At the only gate that there was this altar of burnt offering, or the place where they would bring their animals to do the sacrifices and so forth. And then on the inside of this tabernacle, the fence, there was this little building, and between the building and the altar there was this laver, and this was a little piece of furniture that the Lord told Moses to make. And it's interesting, if you'll think about the tabernacle, it's a picture of our Lord Jesus. And John tells us that he came, he was made flesh, and he tabernacled among us. That is, he dwelt among us. He is the tabernacle, and the tabernacle was a type of him. And to be inside this fence where the little building was and the laver meant that you were in Christ. And there are different levels of being in Christ. But anyway, this was the instrument. And we're not told a lot about this piece of furniture. And it contained water. And when the priest would have to go to the altar to sacrifice animals, they had to wash their hands and their feet. When they went inside this little building in the tabernacle, they had to wash their hands and their feet. And if I could get you to look with me to verse 20, and look with me also at verse 21, you'll see how important this was. It was that they die not. And in verse 21, it's the same thing, that they die not. Either way they were going, inside the building or to the altar, to make this sacrifice, they had to do this or they would die, and it was a matter of life and death. And so you can see that this is not a very prominent piece of furniture. It's not something that is elaborated on a great deal in the Old Testament, but it was of great importance. Their lives depended upon it. It was a matter of life and death. And so, if you'll look with me at this little piece of furniture in the tabernacle, you'll see that it was made of brass. And some say that this is actually copper, but the scriptures tell us it was brass, and we'll just stick with that. It was metallic, and if you'll think of that, you'll see that throughout the scripture, this is a metal that is typical of judgment. This was the metal out of which the brazen serpent was made. It's a picture of judgment. In this little piece of furniture, there was to be water, and they were continuously washing. Now, if you remember, there wasn't a floor in the tabernacle, so as they walked and they stirred up this dust, and as they continuously walked on the earth, they were continuously defiled. So they needed to do this continuously. And I'd like to call your attention to a couple of things. There are no measurements given as to what this piece of furniture was to be made, how it was to be made. You notice that in the altars were so high, they were so wide and so broad and so forth, but there was no measurement here. This laver is a picture of the Lord's Word. It's the continuous washing of water by the word of the Lord. This was something that they had to do. It was a picture. The Lord said in John 17, "Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken to you." It was a picture of His word. And in order for the priest to live and to minister and to do, he had to do this each time he went to this little building or he went to the altar. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every teacher and every preacher would remember that their duty is to preach the word of the Lord? It's in this way that we're cleansed. Harry Ironside, an old preacher that was the pastor of Moody Bible Church at one time in Chicago, was asked one time by a fellow person, "I read the Bible, but I don't understand it. I can't retain things that I read." And Mr. Ironside took a glass that was kind of dirty. He filled it with water, and he emptied it, and he filled it with water, and he emptied it. And he said, "You see, this glass contains none of the water that I've put in it, but it's a lot cleaner than it was when I started." And that's what the word of the Lord will do with you. You're clean through the word which He's spoken to you about. So you can see the importance of the Lord's Word. Now, I want to ask you to look with me for a minute to the book of Numbers, chapter 4. In the book of Numbers, chapter 4. If you look here in Numbers chapter 4, you'll see that the Lord tells Moses how they are to travel with each piece of furniture in the tabernacle. Particularly, if you look in verse 5, they were to take down the covering veil and cover the ark of testimony. And then they were to put badger skins over it. And in verse 7, they were to take the table of showbread and spread a cloth of blue over it. And then in verse 11, you can see that they were to take the golden altar and spread a cloth of blue over it. He gave absolute details about each piece of furniture, but the laver is not mentioned. It's not covered. The word of the Lord is never hidden from the believer in the sense that it's available to him. The Lord wants to reveal that to the believer that's willing to hear, listen, see, and know and understand what he has to say. But the laver was never covered. It was not something that the Lord had done in the dark. Another reason that there were no measurements here is because the word of the Lord is unlimited. There is, you know, sometimes I've had fellow colleagues that would say, "I've just preached everything I know." Well, you hadn't exhausted the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is inexhaustible. And it's a picture here of the way the believer is supposed to carry on in regards to his being in Christ. Now, this is what I want you to study with me about this evening. This laver was made out of something quite unusual. And if you'll look with me to chapter 38 in the book of Exodus and verse 8, you'll see what it was made out of. Chapter 38 and verse 8. When the children of Israel left Egypt, they took silver and gold and metals and whatever from the Egyptians, and the Egyptians gladly gave them to them, and they left. And in chapter 38 and verse 8, you'll see that Moses and the men who were under his supervision made the laver of brass and the foot of it of brass, and they made it out of looking glasses of the women assembling, which assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. He made it out of mirrors. And in days of old, which historically and biblically this is both true, mirrors were made out of metal, highly polished metal. And you would say, "I didn't know." Well, you know, you can do leather that way. if you don't believe that, just join the service or used to a long time ago, and you can see your teeth in your shoes, or else your shoes will be rejected. But nonetheless, this laver was made out of the mirrors of the women in the children as the children of Israel. Do you know why? The Lord, the mirror was used in a fleshly, vain way in Egypt to adorn themselves, to make their appearance much better and so forth. But the Lord wanted them to see something better. And He used this brass from these mirrors to make this laver. And He wanted His people to be clean and to see something better than anything that the world had to offer. It was not a matter of vanity or a matter of decorative purposes. It was to see something far better. Do you know what it was? Look with me in the New Testament at three places where this is referred to. And the first one is in the book of James, chapter 1. In the book of James, chapter 1. In verse 22 of James chapter 1, and he speaks here about the salvation of the soul. In verse 22 of James chapter 1, he says, "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a mirror or in a glass. He beholds himself, and he goes his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." And you know what he's telling us? If you look at yourself in the mirror, do you know what you're doing? You're looking backwards. And the Lord said, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looks back, is fit for the kingdom of God." You behold yourself in a natural way, and you all every morning you have to look at that same thing. You know, they're not making mirrors as good as they used to. Did you know that? I don't look near as good as I did 20 years ago, but I'm still pretty good looking. That's okay. Anyway, he tells us in verse 25, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed." What is the perfect law of liberty? Look into the Lord's word. And when you follow the leadership of God, the Holy Spirit, He's going to do a lot of things for you. He's going to show you something. He wants you to see something. And if you look back with me for a moment to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, let me read this passage to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. (Clears throat) And Paul has begun this letter talking about those who love the Lord. And this is what we've labeled as the love chapter. And he says in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 13, something that's interesting. He says, "For now we see through a glass darkly." So what is he saying? We're looking into this mirror. And this word darkly is the same word that we get our word enigma from. It's something that's not fully revealed. It's something that's sometimes obscure. And Paul says, now we see through a glass darkly. We cannot imagine, we cannot think, or we cannot see now the great truths of the kingdom rule of the Lord Jesus. But one day we will, if we continue to look in God's mirror. And he tells us that the Holy Spirit reveals the deep things of God to us who love Him. And that's why it's in this love chapter. We can look into this glass and into this mirror, and we can't fully see everything that's going to happen because we won't ever fully understand it until the Lord comes and reveals all of this to us. But look with me in 2 Corinthians for a minute, chapter 3. Let me begin reading in verse 6, and I want to read through the rest of the chapter and mention some things down at the end. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul speaks here and he says, "Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life." And he's talking about the contrast between the law and the Holy Spirit, between the law and grace and so forth. But in verse 7, "If the ministration of death, which was the law, written and engraved in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away." And you see, when Moses went up and got the law and he came down, they couldn't look upon his face because of the glow and the glory. And he had to put a veil over his face in order for them to be able to look at him. And Paul is saying, if the ministration or the giving of the law was that glorious, then in verse 8, "How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious?" More glorious. "If the ministration in verse 9 of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth." And that's the time when our Lord Jesus will come to rule and reign. It is the glory of the Lord. And the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the entire earth. And then he says, "If that which is done away was glorious," in verse 11, "much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. But this veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. They can't see this. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is the perfect law of liberty that he wants you to look at. There is liberty. Now read verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face, and that's what the word open means here. We all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You see, looking into the Lord's Word and the perfect law of liberty by the power of the Holy Spirit, He reveals this to us. And it is a matter of life and death. Life for the age to come. It's cleansing. It's doing, it's obedience, it's by the hands that serve and the feet that walk in fellowship with Him. And this is the reason the laver was made out of mirrors. It's to teach us by an example. Look into His Word. Look at this. Do you see in verse 18 where He says, are changed? Hold your hand here for a moment and look back to Matthew chapter 17. In Matthew chapter 17, look in verse 2. In verse 2, the Lord took James and Peter and John up to a high mountain. And in verse 2 of Matthew 17, and he was transfigured. That's the same word as changed in 2 Corinthians 3:18. Transfigured. That's what the Lord wants you to see in His Word. He wants you to behold this great glory that's greater than anything that the Old Testament could. It's the truth of the unveiling of the glory of the Lord when He comes again. So when you look in your mirror, look into the perfect law of liberty. Look into this glass that reveals this glory to you. And that's the Lord's Word. And if you will, bow with us and we'll pray.